Welcome to the Horse Trader's Diary. I'm Tara Sanders, and today I have Charlie with me.
Hey, everybody.
So, Charlie is clearly soft-spoken a little bit, so hopefully she'll speak up.
Well.
So, we are driving through the snow. I'm passengering it. So, we're currently driving through the snow in Midland, Texas, headed to Odessa for the day. I guess I'll start this podcast saying that 2021 has so many changes that I can't wait to tell y'all about. I'm just one of those people that I'm not really somebody that talks about it until it's happening. So, like, a lot of the changes I will not even, like, it'll just be like a surprise. Surprise! So this is kind of a surprise. So some of you guys probably know that Charlie runs barrels, and she has a mare that is good enough to go down the road. And I had a really nice mare, Rachel. Before her, I had a nice mare, Flowers, and I sadly have lost both of them due to really freak things. But fast forward. Charlie wants to go down the road, and she doesn't need to go alone. So she's convinced me to buy my permit and to go with her. And I haven't even rode a barrel horse or been to a barrel race in almost a year.
I came and picked up your mare 2 weeks ago, and I've been ponying her.
Yep. Charlie was like, well, I'll go pick a horse up. Like, you know, I have Petra, which is that's my girl. And I have Sister and Tequila, and I've got Glow, and I've got a Chicago's Cash, Sierra. I've got a bunch. And I was like, you know what? Just pick up Sister, because I'm just going to sell that mare. I've owned her a year. I've never made a run on her. Maybe I can just sell her. And she was like, oh, okay. So I have her pick up Sister. You've had her 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Put shoes on her. She's been ponying her, really jogging her out. I've not had any time to be able to ride. We went to one barrel race, and we didn't run till almost midnight, and Tinley was with us, and she was like kind of getting tired. So I ended up having Charlie run my mare for me. So my mare had one run, and Charlie's never even like actually rode her. She's just ponied her. And so anyway, here I am 9 hours from home. Well, 10 hours from home on a horse I've never, ever made a run on. I've actually probably only rode her. I mean, since I've owned her this time, I've probably only rode her 10 times in the last year. So, yeah. Charlie's mare, though, is Blue. Tell us about your mare.
So, Blue, we actually got in utero at the Rattlesnake Ranch final consignment sale.
So, her mama came from an auction, in other words.
It was a breeding ranch.
Right.
Yeah.
But you got her out of a sale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was, it was her final consignment sale. They were getting out of the business. They just wanted to do cattle, so they liquidated all their horses. We got Blue's dam in full with her. We were just praying for a Blue Roan. They had a few fillies that were by Blue Valentine, and we really wanted one of them. Well, they were going for $8,000, and this is in 2006, mind you. So that was a lot.
Well, and Charlie and her mom didn't do horses for real. I mean, it's like a hobby. So $8,000 for somebody that isn't breeding horses for a purpose other than because you want to raise a Blue Roan, that's a lot of money.
And so we ended up, by some luck, Blue's mom the week before had ran into a T-post and blinded herself in her eye. And so we got her in full for $1,250. And her sire sold at the same sale for $81,000. Again, this is 2006, so he sold for a lot of money.
Yeah, and he went to Mexico.
Yeah, he went to Mexico. Yeah. He passed in 2013, 14, unfortunately, before I was able to, tap into Blue's real potential and know that I wanted another one of her. And Blue's dam passed away in 2016. So I didn't get another Blue, and all her brothers and sisters are older than her. She has 11 full brothers and sisters, but she was the very last one. And so, I've just kind of been trying to get another. I got Bunny, which...
Yeah, she bought another roan mare that actually had come through us, and then I sold to a really good friend of mine, and it worked out that Charlie ended up with her, and she's super nice.
Yeah.
She's Sunfrost, or PC Bronson on top, and Dash McCall on bottom. But that mare's a super nice mare, and I'm proud that Charlie ended up with her, because she's actually got great confirmation. Yeah. So.
And I love her to death. I bought her for nothing more than a brood, actually, to be Blue's recent mare. But
she's decided not to flush Blue. She's just going to breed Bunny once.
I've got Bunny booked to Hooked on Run, and I'm super
shout out Adam!
Yeah, Adam is the bomb.
So she booked it to Hooked on Run, which is really great, because Hooked on Run is an own son of First Down Dash, and he's like... just a really nice horse. Got good confirmation, and he was really stoic.
Yeah.
He had a lot of outs. He ran good on the track, and his horses really want to be free runners, but they've got a ton of turn. I had one that Charlie got to ride when we sold him, and Charlie fell in love with him, and he was one of the only Hooked on Runs, really. That horse kind of stood to the public before by smaller farms, and they were trying to breed him for racehorses. And
Fred was one of his first foal crop, right?
Yeah, Red was one of his first foals, and then I had Nikki. So I've had two really good ones. But so, like, people kind of slept on Hooked on Run because he's older. Yeah. He's like 18 or something.
And the thing about it too is that, you know, he was the money earner on the track.
Yeah.
And in the barrel pin. So he's got like double credentials.
I actually didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that he ever ran barrels. I just knew that they had kind of always stood him to race horse people. And there's a lot of First Down Dash sons in the racehorse industry, or mm-hmm. and there's a lot of mares. First Down Dash mares are really prominent, so
yeah,
there's, you know, that's kind of really close breeding. But I do know that the Hooked on Runs I have are super, super free runners, but you also can't run them by a barrel. So they're the kind of horse that I was telling you last
night. And that's
what
I need, yeah.
Yeah, they'll just kind of pack you across the pin, and they're really going to turn. So I knew that Bunny's pedigree was going to need a little bit more get by, like a little bit more run, because she wants to be a little short. She really wants to turn. Sometimes,
but she's got a big stride.
She does, but her and Blue both having that PC Bronson,
I think a lot of that too is her being a pole horse.
Maybe, yeah.
And belonging to a kid for so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I just think Hooked on Run is going to be perfect on that man.
Yeah.
And I like that horse.
I cannot ride a push style horse to save my life. I will take down all three barrels.
Well, Blue is a push style horse. That's what's so funny. And Charlie has to ride that mare for everything she's worth. And if Blue just had a little bit more get by in her, just a little bit more, it would be a little easier for Charlie. Because I'm going to tell you, when you watch the videos, that mare makes Charlie work for every step.
But like, the thing is that I started her when I was 17. I'm 24 now. She's all that I've ever known, and I'm all that she's ever known. And so it's not, you know, it wasn't an adjustment period. Like, we grew together.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, I blew her up.
Yeah, when I first met Charlie, she was on the verge of, she was special.
Yeah.
She was special. So I'll tell, you want to tell the story, or do you want to tell the story when I first met you?
So the first time I ever met Tara, a friend of mine.
A friend of ours, yeah.
Well, a mutual friend of ours.
Yeah.
And I had rented the arena, and she invited Tara.
Yeah.
And Tara showed up, and I was getting ready to go Christmas Classic in Kinder when Heather
so hosted Charlie
it.
was practicing.
Yes. And Tara...
So I got on my horses, and I warmed them up. You know, I made, like, a pass or two through the barrel. Like, I warmed my horses up, like, trotted them through the barrels, and, like, you know, made a pass through and tied them to the trailer. So in the process of me riding all three of mine, Charlie was on her one, mm-hmm. and Charlie ran her mare.
I had the roan gelding, too.
Okay, well, Charlie ran her mare through the barrels a solid 15 times.
10.
15.
10.
15 times.
And after like number 8, Tara was like, oh, well, you're gonna have the fittest horse at the barrel race.
Well,
and
I try not to be a complete shitty human being, so I didn't want to just be like, excuse me, are you an idiot or are you an idiot? So I try to be very
positive. She's passive aggressive.
I'm very passive aggressive. I'm extremely passive aggressive. So I said in my very cuntish way, oh, one thing about it, you're definitely going to have the fittest horse at the barrel race. And she was like, thank you so much. And I'm like, you're very welcome. And then when I got in the truck, Jacob said, "Thank God that that kid is so nice and had no idea that you just punted her intelligence." And I said, "No, it's the truth. That mare is going to be 10 times fitter than anything."
But I was 19 then.
That, it was the truth. I mean, she was going to be the fittest horse at the barrel race. I just think that it started alley problems. The mare, when Charlie started working for me, I finally told her one time, like, "Look, you're going to stop what you're doing and we're going to fix this." And she fought me. Charlie told me, "We can't fix it. She's like this. She'll never walk down the alley. She's..." I mean, Blue had started taking out the back pin. And we went to Leesville on Thursdays for like 2 months.
Yeah.
Exercising horses.
With cookies.
And they had the longest alley you've ever seen in
and
your life.
And that's kind of where I started, Blue.
Well, they have the longest alley you've ever seen in your life. Like, the alley is probably, what, 40 or 50 foot minimum?
No. I'd venture to say at least 80.
It's the longest alley I've ever seen in my life. And then once you get in the alley, it's another 50 or 80 foot to the first barrel. Like,
yeah,
if you put the barrels down the arena, like, it's a hike. So you can get rolling there. And the problem with Charlie is her mare would be so bad behind the alley that when she hit the alley, she would be at a dead freaking run. So all we did between there and Hindston was just, I made Charlie score in the alley, just up and down. She was so bad.
And for like a solid
this mare
3 weeks of going on Thursdays, Tara on the ground had to grab Blue with a handful of cookies.
And lead her.
And every 3 steps, Blue got a cookie. And just lead her in, and then I turn around and
it was
and
that
walk
bad.
Out.
Like, it sounds, I mean, we tried the whipping her. Like, at first we were like, you know what? I was like,
well,
Charlie,
that's what I was doing on my own, and it obviously got us nowhere.
I was like, so whip her. And then it got to where I would ride a horse. I had flowers. Remember, I got on her, and I just would walk beside Charlie. And it finally, I mean, it took a while, and finally when it clicked, it clicked. Like, all of a sudden, she just would walk in.
Well, not only did we have her, God bless it, we had Sparky to do that with, too.
Oh, I don't. Poor Sparky. He really wasn't bad. He was just, Sparky just needs to be.
He's a victim of circumstance.
He is. He's been
through.
And it
reflects.
He's been through something similar, and it took a while. We got Sparky to where he was making awesome runs, though. I mean, he placed
in his best run, I fell off of him just
pretty
about.
Much. Yeah, Charlie at DeRidder. He was laying a run down at DeRidder, and Charlie just about. But
I just had so many layers on, I couldn't stay in the saddle.
So, you know, I think in that moment, Charlie finally gained a little respect that maybe, even though I don't do barrel horses anymore, that I might know a little bit. And so then it got better. So Charlie's been making runs on this mare now for 2 years. It's gotten better. And the mare is clocking in the 1D with hundreds and hundreds of entries. She was 12th last night with 300. And she outran horses that made good runs that were also in the 1D that are ridden by NFR girls. And the horses that outran Charlie are horses that not only have probably been here before, but also have been going down the road, and Charlie could have been faster. There were two little bobbles Charlie had that she could have been a couple tenths faster. So since Charlie has the potential to go down the road and win, I told her I'll go with you so you don't have to go alone. I haven't rode a barrel horse in a year, and I lost my good mare. She died. So I'm just going to have to, like, any, mini, miny, mo something out of the pasture. And it just happened to be Sister, because I thought, well, if nothing else, if I take her out there, maybe I can just get a couple of videos and some kid could buy her. Because, I mean, so Sister's story isn't much different. She came out of Texas, out of a cell barn, and she was just being ridden by youths. Like, my sister, but Darby Horseman had her the longest time. And Darby is a really good friend of mine. And Darby kind of, like, took her to some, Darby's, like, younger than Charlie. So she had her, like, in high school. So real similar. She was just a kid with a not completely finished barrel horse. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Trying to kind of haul her, season her. And Darby really doesn't barrel race. So about a year ago, she called me and she said, "Hey, I bred Sister last year and I'm weaning her baby. Do you want to buy her? She's just been out in the pasture for 2 years. Like, but you know, she's nice. I'm really not going to leg her back up." And I said, "Yeah, no problem." So I got Sister for nothing. I mean, I just said, "Yeah, I'll leg her back up." And it's really funny. I sold Sister in the spring, and she, the day they were coming to get her, got her chest cut. and I refunded them. They actually ended up 2 months later buying a different horse from me just because the dad was so impressed that I didn't say, hey, sorry about your bad luck.
Yeah.
By the way, your mare you bought now needs stitches. Which he messaged me last night and was like, hey, do you still want to sell the red mare for the same price? And I was like, let me get through
the
weekend.
Oh, after you posted the video?
Yeah. I was like, let me get through the weekend. So I didn't sell her because she cut her chest really bad. And then I did sell her, and I sold her to some people in Texas, and they gave me cash and another horse for her. And then 2 weeks into them having her, the other horse's papers came back as like non-parentage verified. The mare, they bought the mare off of a horse trader in Texas. She like kind of trades cutting bred horses. I'm trying to remember her name because it was kind of more her, like, she sold them the horse and said, this is how she's bred. We've sent the papers into the AQHA to register her. She mm-hmm. only had a certificate. As soon as they come back, we will mail them to you.
Yeah.
I cannot remember her name, though. I don't remember her name. And I wish I did, because I would tell y'all, because I thought it was such a bullshit deal. So, basically, the mare, the filly that I had taken in on trade, she texted them and was like, hey, I'm not really sure what you want to do, but the filly didn't parentage verify, so she doesn't have papers right now. We're going to have to run her back to every horse on the farm. We're going to have to try to get papers. Like, but there's always the potential that you don't find the right DNA.
Yeah.
And then so when they told me that, I messaged them back and I said, well, I can't take this filly on trade because I'm going to be honest, I already had her sold. Like, I only took her on trade because I had her sold to someone else. So now that she doesn't have papers, you need to come get her. And then once you come get her, I'll do two things. Either you can make me payments on the balance of the mare, or I'm going to come get my mare. Because, like, and they said, well, we have no more money. And I, well, at first I was like, you need to just pay me the difference. They had no more money. So I said, okay, well, you can make me payments. Well, the biggest thing there was I could tell that they weren't going to. They were just going to come get the filly and then basically tell me. Because I still had sister's papers at that point. I had her papers till they got the filly's papers. Mm-hmm. So I had to get an attorney, and I had to go get my mare by court order. And I did. I gave them back their deposit, took their filly back, and picked my mare up. And so I actually sold sister twice last year and ended up with her back both times. She didn't leave the first time. So this whole time I've had this mare, and I've not been riding her, and I've really just kind of thought, well, eventually I'll sell her to a kid to, like, junior rodeo on. And then I brought her, and then she really tried to lay a rundown. Like, she actually, I brought a knife to a gunfight, and she actually tried to be a gun. Like, she was a gun last night. And I rode like somebody that's never owned a gun before. I mean, I might be a swordsman, but I don't think I've ever shot that caliber of a pistol. I mean, I have. I've had better. I really rode poor. So, I rode her really poor.
But you didn't fall off.
I tried. Tried to fall off.
It almost happened.
I tried to fall off at the third. I just really, I mean, it's different when you haven't made a run in months and months and months, and you step on a horse that's trying to make a 1D run. People don't realize how quickly things can go bad going that fast.
Oh, do they?
No, they don't. Because when she left the second, she tried to fire so hard, my butt left the saddle a foot. And I remember thinking, oh, and then when I came down, I was forward, like, so my Fupa just,
so there's the facility.
My Fupa just, the saddle horn. So that's what happened last night. Don't worry. The videos are public. I'm not hiding them from you. So that's our story so far. So what else is new? We brought a pony.
Yeah, I brought my little baby Cisco. I got him from the best registered miniature horse breeder. She's from Poolville, Texas. Her name is Buffy. She is wonderful. She's recently bought a band of broodmares, and she has a super cute 28-inch little Cremello stud. Anyway, she shows at American Mini World, and Cisco is just a little watchy, and she was honest, and I was like, that's fine. He's just gonna live with my stud. At the time, I had a stud, and you know, studs, they get lonely, and especially when you have nothing but mares other than that stud, you know, they get attached, and it just causes talking, and I don't really like that. You know, some people are like, it's just talking. Well, talking leads to doing, so.
Yeah. So she bought it for that. Well, so she brings the Mini just because I think it's more Charlie's emotional support animal than anyone's.
Blue has gotten to where she wants to start to rear up and, like, buck whenever you take something away from her.
At the trailer.
And, or she's by herself.
Well, listen, so we get here, and now my mare, Sister, has decided that that's her emotional support pony.
Yes.
And this morning I went to PEMF-er, and we took the pony with her.
Uh-huh.
And the pony got loose.
That's on you.
No, I didn't tie. Who tied him up?
I got the trailer.
Who tied the pony?
I did.
Okay,
but
then
you're supposed to keep that pony up.
I had both hands on the PEMF machine, and I look up, and the pony is like trotting off, and my mare tries to like freak out, tear the freaking shit down, and the pony is like, as soon as he gets outside the building, he takes off running. Two people tried to help me catch him. One lady got a hold of the lead rope, and he reared up like Olympus on her, lunged through the air and took off with her on the lead rope, knocks her to her knees in the slushy snow. I don't think this is this right.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I was so mortified. I'm like, Charlie, come on. And Charlie's like, I'm naked getting in the shower. I'm like, put your fucking clothes on. Now, Cisco is like running the parking lots. And so Charlie shows up and he's like, you just see him like zip down one aisle.
Yeah.
And then you see him like go outside the building and then zip down the next aisle. So you can just see him like in the, like in the breezeway where it opens, like zoom by, and then he'll zoom by, and he was just like running and bucking, and he knew.
And
yes, and he knew we were trying to catch him because he would stop and be like, well, I'm gonna take like a breather because nobody can see me here. And as soon as we would like try to corner him, there he would go again. I'm telling you,
I got
killed
lucky.
That shit.
He like zipped down an aisle, and there was a guy walking, you know, unbeknownst to him, a runaway 32-inch tall little devil shit is chasing behind him. And I don't know how he didn't hear his little pitter-patter on the concrete.
So I holler, excuse me,
I'm like, sir, can you catch my little asshole? And so, he like turns around and he's like, whoa, little buddy. And then I get up to him and I snatch him. I'm like, you little shit, come on.
And I told her this morning, I said, listen, he's already at three strikes. So if this pony does not start, he didn't want to load in the trailer to come to Odessa. He didn't want to get in. He was like, I don't think so.
Oh no, he does that all the time. Like,
so I told her,
big drama, rear up, jump in.
Well, here's the deal. Big drama is fixing to be an at-home pony, and we're going to go buy like a 30-year-old Mini that has all the manners in the world if this one doesn't start behaving, because currently he's on strike three.
How did he get in here?
I told you I didn't think that was right,
but you don't listen.
I think we have to go around. Well, we're officially at Odessa, and I don't think we're where we're supposed to be.
We can see where we're supposed to be.
Yes.
They have it fenced off.
Yes, they do have it fenced
with
off.
With temporary panels.
So we are not where we're supposed to be. They probably want to check our Coggins, which is fine.
Oh, yeah.
And shout out to all the vets who now do electronic paperwork, and you can just have like a 6-month travel pass. Everything's on your phone.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about it. It's
the
just
pony and the blue have a passport.
Yes.
And it's super cool. You go on My Global Vet Link and you know, your horse registers, or the vet registers your horse, and then anytime you go somewhere, you just put in the address of where you're going,
mm-hmm.
what date you'll be there, and it's automatically all online. So you have health papers for 6 months. Super
yes.
cool.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And I definitely recommend microchipping your horses, so that way, if anything does happen, or for some reason you get really
crappy people. Well, in Louisiana, we haven't had a choice.
Yeah, Louisiana, they kind of want it required by law.
It is required by
law. Yeah, it is, but nobody really enforces it.
Yeah, you can't even get a Coggins in the state of Louisiana unless you have a microchip or a brand, period. If you go to a vet in Louisiana, your horse has to have a tattoo, a microchip, or a brand. And if it doesn't have one of those things, they won't give you a Coggins.
Yeah.
So it is required by law there.
But even if you do have a brand, definitely still microchip your horses, because you just never know. Sometimes you might get that one guy that's like, well, you could have 15 red horses with the red blaze, and this doesn't go to this one. So it's better safe than sorry. And it pulls up globally. Okay. I'm angry now.
Yeah, I think we have to go all the way around to the other side, is what they're telling us. It's fine. We're fine. It's fine. We're fine. Burr, 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 burr.
It is officially?
Man, I just don't, I don't know. One thing that I'm going to do my very best is to not discuss politics, or like this podcast is just going to be about horses and horse training and rodeo stuff.
I mean, that's all it should be about.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, I just pulled up my Facebook for 1 second and was like, politics, politics, politics. No, my brain can't take it today. I really genuinely think that we have to
go out and go back in.
But where do we go out at?
Over here.
Oh, okay.
And then go down.
Well, they just got a ride around the parking lot. It's no problem. Well, I guess we better go so that we can get situated. We'll probably do another episode tomorrow. So welcome to this. We're on the road, and it's a journey, that's for sure. So I'm really just being moral support and trying to, I was trying to get videos of my mare new places so that we could get some videos, get her sold, and then we realized shortly afterwards it's all the way over there. You're not in the, I think that this is all a one way.
No.
Are you sure?
There's yellow lines.
Okay, please don't kill us.
I won't.
See? What are they doing?
It's a turning lane.
Okay, we're gonna go before I die, but we will be back on another podcast, probably, maybe we may even podcast on the way back from here. I don't know. We're just doing it. So, goodbye, you guys. Pray for me. Pray for both of us. And if y'all see a 30-year-old, 20-inch, tiny, itty-bitty, pocket midget type mini, let me know. I might be interested. Yeah. Got to be really old and really little and not give me any drama. Because the one currently is drama. Goodbye.
He's cute, though.
He's drama.